This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Her Vantage, and Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Trish Hogan, who is the hospital CEO of Subang Jaya Medical Center. She joined us last year, bringing with her more than 30 years of extensive experience in the healthcare industry. Welcome, Trish. Welcome to Malaysia.
Good morning, Frida, and thank you very much for having me.
Right. You know, I want to know a little bit about yourself. And, you know, you've been in the industry, in Australia largely, and then making a decision to come here. But we'll talk about yourself, how you got into the industry in the first place.
Okay. So many options when you leave school, of course, all those years ago. And I loved hospitals, so I went nursing.
Okay.
So I nursed for many years and then ended up in the operating theatre. And honed my skills in operating theatre management. And then the state that I come from in Australia, called Queensland, they wanted to start an operating theatre course for nurses. So I started the first ever operating theatre course for nurses in Queensland. And then I sort of decided, oh, I think that I might like to go school teaching, because I thought they had a lovely long holiday break. So I went and studied education, became a school teacher, taught for a few months and hated it.
Oh, wow.
So then I used that, went back into hospitals and went into staff development, what have you. And then from there, I sort of was following my husband around Australia. He works in universities. He's an accountant by background, and then went into management, operating theatres, and then management of hospitals and so forth, you know, studied masters in health administration and then started seeing, many, many years ago.
Right.
So, and that was in the public hospital system, and then ventured into the private. So it's been quite a while in the healthcare industry.
So a bit of a plan, a bit of it is sort of accidental in a way.
Totally accidental. And I think that's important too, right, for young women in particular. I really didn't have a plan at all. I just, I turned up for work every day. I think that's important. You know, you have to be there. And if an opportunity presents itself, people will recognise talent. And I try to do that in the job that I do here as well, spotting the talent and developing it. And they will offer you opportunities. And I would say, take the opportunity. You might say, oh, I'm not sure that I can do that. Well, nobody's really sure that they can do anything before they do it. And I think you take that opportunity and you do your best. And then from there, you know, from little seeds, big things grow. And that's what I've always done. So I've just sort of gone from one thing to the other to the other, and enjoyed it immensely along the way, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. So turning up, step one.
Turn up. Turn up for work. You hear all this about, oh, you know, the new generation coming through, and believe me, I have two daughters, one 30, one 24, and, you know, they often say to me, oh, Mum, you know, it's about work-life balance. And I say, no, it's about a choice. You know, you can have work-life balance no matter what you do, but at the end of the day, you have to make a choice, and you have to turn up, and you have to add value, and you have to be useful. You can, I'm not saying you have to do everything yourself. Oh my gosh, right, you can't do everything yourself. But what you can do is you can actually hire really good help to help you. And then you can balance things quite easily so that you can have enough rest time and enough work time. But turn up, do your best, and be there and be present when you're there.
Right. So you talked a little bit about spotting talent, right? And how? What are some of the things that you look out for when you talk about talent? But, well, they'll have to turn up for one so you can spot them.
Yes, be there. Very important to be there. What do I look for? I look for somebody who is energetic. I look for somebody who thinks logically. I don't look for somebody who has all the answers, but I look for somebody who can think logically and work through processes and who is interested. That's the main thing. So if I interview somebody and they come along and, you know, they really don't want to be there, well, I really don't want that person there as well.
Right.
And I look for somebody who I think has a little bit of ambition and wants to be developed and wants to succeed. And that's the type of person that I find is really easy to work with and really easy to develop into a more senior role if that's what they want.
Right.
I'm not saying everybody needs to be a manager or develop into a senior role. Obviously, everybody in the workplace is important, and every role in the workplace is important. And I guess that's what you look for too. You look for talent, somebody who can actually work with everybody at any level.
Right.
Very important.
You think about the hospital, right? We need people at every
you
level,
do.
Right? Because it's a matter of life or death, literally.
And somebody who will is actually interested in speaking with people. I know that we're in an age of technology, and we have many technological advances in the healthcare industry and many things that go pop and bing and all of that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're lying in the bed, you want somebody who can converse with you and can actually understand your needs and give empathy if that's required, or help you develop a certain amount of skills to look after yourself if that's required. And I think that's the human interaction. And for me, people are the most important thing of any organisation.
Right. So the decision to come to Malaysia, how did that come about?
All right. Well, it wasn't something that was on my radar, so to speak, but I work with Ramsay Healthcare in Australia. We're quite a big healthcare company worldwide. We have 74 hospitals in Australia, and it's an Australian company. And I was asked by, our head people person in Australia if I would be interested in going to Malaysia. So that sort of came out of the out of the blue, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I am. I don't know. I'll go and have a look. So I came over. I had a look, and I just loved what I saw, and I went back and I said, absolutely, I'll go there. I'd be delighted to. So here I am.
All right. Welcome. You know, so when you look at the healthcare industry, I have to compare it to Australia. What do you see would be let's talk about similarities, right? I mean, are we when it comes to standards and things like that, and what are we like?
Look, it's amazing how similar the healthcare industry is in probably all countries. The basis of it is caring for people and helping them get better, or successfully supporting them in whatever way their illness is taking them. So really, look, same procedures, got great technology, can I say, here in Malaysia. And that's one thing that's impressed me. At the hospitals, the amount of technology and up-to-date technology is overwhelmingly amazing. I'd say that probably the differences might be some of the ways that we do things. Processes might be a little bit different. The way that some of the population thinks about hospitalisation is a little bit different. Right. In Australia, you know, you want to get treated quickly, you want to get in, you want to get out. Here, I notice a lot of the population, they like to stay in hospital. And I would encourage people, you know, that if you can go home, because it's a much more comfortable place and you don't want to be in hospitals longer than you have to, and all those environments there with all of our bugs around. So I guess that's a little bit different. We do a lot more day surgery than you would do here. But right. I think that that's a way that Malaysia will head and is heading. Right. But really, I think it's just the diseases are different. I can say here that I have been a little bit overwhelmed by the amount of diabetes in Malaysia. I have never seen such an amount of diabetes.
Mostly self-inflicted.
Well, yes. And I think, well, having said that, we obviously have large hemodialysis units here, which I have never come across for people who have developed that disease, probably due to diabetes and high sugar content and lack of exercise. So we do have, obviously, as a company, a very big social corporate responsibility to assist in, I guess, handling that disease into the future. We're trying to encourage people to get out, take exercise, do yourself a favour, less sugar, more exercise, and into the future there will be those generations coming through and we won't need those hemodialysis units. We don't want them and we don't need them. And, of course, that's less burden on the health dollar all around.
Right. I'm here with Trish Hogan, Hospital CEO of Subanjaya Medical Centre. We'll talk about her plans for the centre in just a moment. You're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Her Vantage and Enterprise. Good morning, Fri Liu here, and Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Trish Hogan, Hospital CEO of Subanjaya Medical Center, here with me. She just joined them end of last year. So welcome again to Malaysia and being in this role for the last, six, 7 months now?
That's it, Fred. Thank you.
What's it been like the last 7 months?
Oh, well, I guess it's been a little bit busy getting used to just settling into the lifestyle here. As I said, I love it. I love your golf courses. And settling into the hospital per se, just getting to know the people there, getting to know the way that things are done. And I have to say that people have all been very, very welcoming. There's a lot of talented people there. And, yeah, I think it's just been very busy getting my feet on the ground and then just working out what direction that we might go.
And what is your vision? I mean, you know, yeah.
So my vision for SJMC would be to have SJMC, obviously it's a great tertiary hospital, but have it as a hospital where all of the staff, all of the community speak very proudly of it. I want it to be a magnet hospital. I'd like it to be a hospital where we have no staff shortage because everybody wants to work there. And everyone will want to work there because we have the highest possible standards of delivery of healthcare. And we care for our staff and we care for our community. Mr. Ramsey, who started Ramsey Healthcare, which is in partnership with Syme Darby, the owners of SJMC, always said to me when he was alive, he said, "Trish, you know, if you look after the people, everything else will look after itself." And it's so true. So I think it's about having a culture at the hospital where people want to be there. And if people want to be there, they'll always do their best and we will deliver the best customer service and the best healthcare outcomes. I want SJMC too not to be complacent. I think if you're complacent, you're not improving. So I want to foster more research. We do some great research there now. I want to foster more teaching and I want to develop the people there.
Right.
And I think they're the key things for the future of SJMC to be a well-renowned or even to keep its well-renowned name of SJMC excellent tertiary comprehensive referral hospital.
Right. You know, how do you strike the balance where it is about providing healthcare, but also at the same time, it is private, right? So there's also business. So there's also, you know, you've got to think of the dollars and cents. You know, how do you ensure that there is that balance?
Okay. So I think, yes, we're a for-profit organisation, and I don't think profit's a dirty word. I think in actual fact, profit actually drives efficiency. And we all don't, no one likes waste. I mean, no one likes waste at your home even, do you? You know, we all eat leftovers for dinner. So it's no different. You have to watch all the dollars that you spend and spend them wisely to get the best return. And if you do that, that will actually drive a high quality, high efficient healthcare system. So it is about watching what you spend and spending it wisely. And it is difficult. Obviously, there's rising costs of healthcare. We know that. But I think it's embracing new technologies where they do improve your efficiency and improve your standard of care. And there's many, many things coming down the track and here now. It's like a tsunami of technology coming towards you. So you do have to choose wisely as well. You just can't jump right in and buy everything. And you do have to make sure that if you do purchase something, that it is going to have the return on investment that you expect it's going to have. Otherwise, it's just another waste.
Right. You know, when you look at hospitals, and although you would have all the facilities for everything, but you mentioned earlier on about diabetes, are there particular areas that, you know, the hospital wants to be known for? I mean, like some hospitals want to be known for, I guess, medical tourism, right, in that sense. So is there something that the niche that SJMC is going for?
I'd still repeat that we do want to be known as a fully comprehensive tertiary hospital. However, it would be very remiss of me not to mention our amazing cancer service that we have at SJMC. I know it's well-renowned and it's well-renowned for its research, and I can absolutely confidently say that we have the best 5-year breast cancer outcomes at SJMC in the whole of Malaysia, and that has been researched and studied. Cancer services would be something that would be a go-to service for SJMC. The other thing, surprisingly, is pediatric services, so children's services. SJMC is quite blessed in the fact that we have specialty pediatricians in anything you can think of. So if your child comes in with a neurology problem, we have a pediatric neurologist. They come in with an endocrine system, we have a pediatric endocrinologist. So I guess we have all of the subspecialties for pediatrics. And so cancer, pediatrics. But really, look, you know, if you've got a headache, we've got great neurosurgery, we've got back pain, we've got great spine centre. eyes, ENT, urology, women's health, men's health, all of those sorts of things, and they all have an important role to play. And I guess that's the one of the great things about SJMC. If you come in with a particular ailment and during your time with us, it's we find that, oh, there's something else going on here, it's really easy to cross-refer. Mm. And you can be seen at a one-stop shop and you know that you can get the best of care. But cancer services, we have a lot of medical tourism coming for our cancer services. Mm. Indeed, we're very pleased to be named Malaysia Oncology Service of the Year for 2019 about a month ago.
Right.
So we're very proud of that, and I can honestly say that I firmly believe we deserve that award because of the great work that's being done in cancer and oncology services, hematology at SJMC.
Right. Women in this space, right, was that kind of equal in Malaysia or in Australia? What do you see?
Traditionally, the healthcare industry has been a caring industry, caring-based industry. So there's always been a high proportion of females, particularly many years ago in nursing. You know, if you were a female, you went nursing because that was the caring, compassionate size.
Or was teacher.
Of, exactly. of the female. Wow, hasn't that changed? So when I started nursing, I don't think that there was a male nurse, in actual fact, in the whole hospital, which is quite a large hospital. In Brisbane, where I started. And now, of course, there's a great many male nurses and there's a great many more female doctors graduating than male doctors. So times have changed. In the management portfolio of hospitals, things have had a huge reversal there as well. When I was first in hospital management many, many years ago in Australia, I was one of two out of about 11 in top tier hospital management. Now, I'll just use SJMC as an example. So myself, CEO, I have a female director of medical services, female director of finance, female director of clinical services. And indeed, for all three Ramsay Sime Darby hospitals here in KL, we have a female CEO of Park City and a female CEO of Ara Damansara.
Right.
So times have changed. We're taking our place at the top table for females. I think it's important to have a bit of a mix, though, because I do value the opinions of my male counterparts. Mm. So it's not about female or male. It's just to say that there's room for both.
Right.
And for a long time, it wasn't both.
Right. So it's about equality. And I believe that, you know, you get a good view when you have an equal balance of both. You know,
totally.
You either way, you don't want to be skewed too much in one direction. You know, so you talk about the women that you've got in your team. Was that a conscious thing? No, it's just the best person for the
best
job.
Best person for the job.
Right.
Always the best person for the job. And I'm very emphatic that we actually advertise every vacancy. And I always like to have a mix of male and females on interview panels as far as possible. And it has to be the best person for the job. And whoever that may be, I know that that will, if you do it that way, that will take the organisation forward.
All right. And you mentioned earlier on about this this day procedure or day care, that sort of direction, right? How do you change that mindset?
Okay. So while it might be a new type of thinking for Malaysia, it's not new elsewhere around the world. And many of our medical staff who practice here have all done their fellowships or some of their training overseas. So it's a concept that they're quite used to.
Right.
So I think it's all about taking along the staff and the doctors and everyone with you and educating the public that this is actually best practice, getting up and about as soon as you can after surgery, getting home. That's where you want to be. And not only will, as I said, it will be better for the patient, it's better for the dollars in the health system. We don't want to be spending dollars that we don't have to.
Right. Thanks for being with us. Trish Hogan, CEO of Subanjaya Medical Centre. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.